Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Sarah, I don't mean to embarrass you, but the Lord spoke this in my heart as I was finishing up. He said, tell you, you do have what it takes to be on worship team. So don't even listen to any lies that the enemy's telling you. You got what it takes, and you could be a great blessing to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That was from the Lord, by the way. Praise God. Don't do that very much in service. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be in church, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I like getting words like that from God, just encouraging words. And praise the Lord. Didn't plan on doing that, but it's what we want to do what He wants to do, right? We want to be led by what the Spirit of God says to do. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to, let's start in Ephesians 6. I want to read you a testimony. We're going to pray first. I've been asking for testimonies, and finally someone gave me one. Praise God. And to let people know what's going on in here and what God's doing, especially with the series that we're starting. And I'll get to it. It'll be a little bit, you'll understand it a little bit more in a second, but you ought to have great value for this place.
Amen.
Because lives are being changed here, and what God's doing here, and it ought to be something that is not lightly esteemed in your life. And people need to hear that God is moving in people's lives and that the word's going forth and people are being changed. And so we'll talk about that in this new series that we're going to start. But let's pray real quick. Father, we ask for utterance tonight, and boldness this morning, Father. And Father, words from heaven, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost, Father. That I'd speak as the oracles of God. Father, people need to hear from you today, Father, that, Lord, that I would speak as if it was just me and this person, Father, in a room, Lord, that you would just say something that would just be like they're the only ones, Father, that have your attention, Father. Make it be like that today. Hit bullseyes in people's hearts. Father, say something that's pertinent to everybody's life, Father, that hits the bullseye, that will cause them to grow, cause them to increase, cause them to go to a new place of blessing in you. And Father, for that, we'll give you the praise. We'll be obedient. If you want to do things like that, Father, and drop things in my heart concerning people, concerning the plan of God, Father, we'll obey you and just do whatever you want, Father. I always like to say, Lord, I'm like a rag doll. Just whatever which way you want to move me around, Father, I'll be obedient. So, Lord, we thank you for utterance today and help in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read this testimony that I got. I have a little ringing. I don't know if you can hear that ringing or not, if you can fix that. Did I turn this off? Brandy Parker from the Olean Church, she'd come here a little bit. And just been a great blessing to you know, my family and I, but also the Church of God, and just so one of those awesome people from Olean. You're so excited that God hooked you up with. And she wrote this testimony down. I'm just going to read it as she wrote it. Now, the nice thing she said about me in here, I didn't pay her to say this stuff. I'm just going to read it how she gave it to me because she did such a wonderful job of it. But this is a testimony. You got to hear this because. And what we're going to talk about today, and I'll just give you kind of what the cat out of the bag, because we started to a little bit. We're going to start getting into a series about honor and honoring the things of God, and more in direction of the local church. And so many people need to realize how blessed they are to be here and how wonderful this place really is. And here, let me just read it. It says, I first just want to say that I'm truly grateful for all that my pastor, my church, and mostly my God has done in my life. Maybe I turned sideways a little bigger. I hadn't been feeling well for about a week. I was trying to suffer through it and hope that it would just go away on its own. After a week, I had decided it was time to go get it looked at. I went to the hospital, and after they had ran many tests, they told me that they thought I had a stroke. Then they asked me what hospital I wanted to go to. Being the only caregiver for my son at home, I told them that I would just follow up with my doctor the following Monday, and I went home. The next day, I was feeling even worse. My mother had come over to help me around my house, and that is all that I remember for the next few hours. My mother tells me that when she arrived, I was acting strange. Apparently, my speech started to slur. And I'm very familiar with strokes. My dad had a major one in 2004. I know this is all too familiar to me. He said, apparently, my speech started to slur. My eyes were doing funny things, and then I quit being able to talk at all. She took me to a different hospital, and after running tests, they said that I was having a stroke. They then called Mercy Flight. This wasn't a minor thing. I remember my mother putting the phone to my ear and my pastor was on the other end. He prayed, and as I listened, I got a calmness that I can't explain. I remember she couldn't say a word to me on the phone that day, but we just released our faith and said, this is an evil report here. I was taken to a big city hospital by a helicopter. And when I got there, they started running tests and confirmed that I was having a stroke. Everyone around me was running around frantic, and when my family arrived, you could tell that they were worried. I was alert, and at that point was regaining my speech. The doctor seemed a little baffled, so they continued to run tests. I was admitted and brought to a room. Now, that night, I had opportunity, when I got that phone call, to drive out to the hospital at night and be able to pray with her again. When I got to my room, I was surrounded by my family and friends. I was already feeling better. My pastor had arrived and came in and prayed with me. Again, I felt peace and a happiness. I just knew that everything was going to be just fine. The next morning after receiving the test results, the doctors cleared me to go home. Here the night before, she's being flown by helicopter for a stroke. They could find no sign of a stroke or anything at all wrong with me. In fact, I was very healthy according to the newest test results. After being home for a couple of weeks, my doctor had reached out to me and explained that they had found a blood clot on my brain. That week in church, we had a healing service. It was a couple weeks ago. Remember when the Lord called some things out and Brandy came up in that service? And earlier that week, she had told me that she had had that blood clot on her brain. And we just pumped her up full of faith again. She never wavered once. So at this point, see, they explained they found a blood clot on my brain. That week in church, we had a healing service, and I was able to get hands laid on me. At this point, I was feeling better than I ever have in years. A couple days later, the doctors called me back with the latest test results. They could no longer find the blood clot. It was gone. During this whole time, I never took any medicine at all. My pastor had given me a lot of healing scriptures to read and things to say. I read and studied and repeated and meditated and prayed and prayed and prayed. I feel absolutely amazing still and thank God every day for so many things. Praise God. A miracle. That's a miracle. That's an absolute miracle. And my goodness, I tell you, one thing about her, I do have to brag on her a little bit. That lady never wavered one time in her faith. I mean, she went through the ringer, and she never once, I sat there and would talk to her and look her face to face and say, this evil report, you're going to be better than you ever were before. This ain't gonna, and she just nodded her head, yep. She wasn't worried. She wasn't afraid of nothing. And look at that miracle that came. My God. But you know what happens if she doesn't get hooked up in church? And she doesn't get hooked up with the Word of God. That's not the result and the outcome of that. It's just not. And so I encourage you, please. I mean, did that bless you or did that bless you? I mean, write down your testimonies, please. And let's share these with people to let people know what's going on. Again, we're not looking for, you know, crazy, you know, details of your life. We just want to know what good things God's doing for you, whether it's physically, with your family, financially, whatever you decide. We're not putting any standards on what it has to be. Just what has God done for you since you've been here? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we prayed, and I mentioned this, that we're going to be starting a series on honor, and I need to explain some things before we get started. We dove into it a little bit last week and started talking about it, and I knew that this series was coming. Let me explain how this series has come about. First of all, the Bible has much to say about the topic of honor. It's something that I've never preached on one time. Now, maybe a little bit of things have come up in a service. But in the 4 years that I've been a senior pastor at this church, and like I said last week, we have a few people that have been with us really from the first couple months. You know, the Walkers, Grandma Alice, and Jeff and Michelle, and other people came shortly thereafter, but some of the few that right from the beginning, you can ask them, I've never preached a sermon on honor. I've never preached a series on honor. You can go back in our archives, you won't find it. Now, what's the reason, Pastor? If it's in the Bible, why haven't you? And, you know, I told you I had to repent last week. Well, I had to repent to God because, Lord, 2 years ago, 2 years ago, was dealing with me strong to start talking about honor. And I put it off. And the reason being is because there are things in the Bible when it comes to the topic of honor that directly will result and benefit my life personally. They just will. And so because not wanting to be self-serving and self-promoting, I've just put it off. And the Lord said to me, do you preach my word? And I said, I do. And he said, no, you don't. Well, he said, do you preach my word? I said, I'll preach the whole word, Father. Romans 1 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I'm not. I said, I told you. I'll preach it from the front page to the back. And he started, in my spirit, listing off scripture. He said, why won't you share this scripture? And they all had to do with the topic of honor. And I knew what he was trying to get at. And I've been strictly warned in my spirit that enough's enough. And that not only is it going to start affecting me and my family for being disobedient, but because you don't know about it, you can't reap the benefits of what honor will bring you in your life. And you'll see there are some great, great benefits of honor. I had mulled over having somebody come and teach this series. I thought about having my pastor come in, having a traveling minister come in and tell him, come teach my church honor, because I've known in my spirit specifically, and I take responsibility, that people have been hurt because they don't know how to be honorable in certain things. And I'm the shepherd. And so I apologize for those things. And I mulled over that. Should I have someone else come in and teach it? And you know what? It didn't sit right with me. And I thought, you know what? I would think they would appreciate that I'd be able to stand up here and just tell them the truth. At this point, we ought to be like family, where you can trust me. If you can't trust me, you probably should find a different church. If you think I have ulterior motives and you think I'm not honest and, you know, and don't have the right agenda, then this probably isn't the place for it. I mean, I wouldn't want to be under a pastor that I couldn't trust. And so I thought, you know, I'm not going to have anybody come in. They're my family. I'm the dad of the church. Dad's going to sit down, talk to the family, and have a talk, right, about things. And so I hope that you can respect that. I just didn't feel right. Now, it's not wrong to have people come in and teach stuff, but it just didn't sit right with me having people teach stuff. And, you know, Ephesians 6, I want to show you this. Now, the things that we're going to be talking about are honor concerning the things of God pertaining to the local church. Why? Because that's where you are most of the time. That's where your life spiritually, for the majority of your life, is going to revolve around the pastor in the local church. And so that's what we're going to look at. But look what Ephesians 6 and verse 1 and 2 says. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And it goes on in verse 3 and tells you what the promise is. That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Parents, it'll do you a favor, yourself a favor, your kids a favor, to teach them how to live honorably. Why? Because the Bible says if they'll be honorable towards you, they'll live long on the earth. It'll be well with them. Praise God. I want that for my kids. But when I'm bringing this up, I touched on it a little bit last week, is because when I teach my kids honor, we can see that it'll be well with them and they'll live long on the earth. There's blessings to my personal children being honorable. Would you agree with that? There's blessings to my kids being honorable towards me. Now, the actions of them being honorable towards me bless my life. They better my life. They make my life easier. They make my life more enjoyable. There's no doubt there's a personal benefit to my kids being blessed. Now, I could take one of two approaches on it. I could say, you know what? Because I don't want to be self-serving, I'm not going to teach what the Word says to them for the fear of being self-serving, but then they'll go without that. And I'm not going to do that here anymore. I for 4 years I've put this off because I've been so careful to not say anything about anything because I never, ever want to put the spotlight on myself. If anything, like John the Baptist said, he said, I must decrease so he may increase. I don't enjoy getting up in front of people. In fact, it's something that bothers me a lot. I'd rather be an usher in the back and never be seen and do things that nobody know. But I have no choice. If I don't do it, I'm graced to do it, and I love being a pastor, don't get me wrong. But the act of getting up in front of people, man, it makes my skin crawl. So the last thing I want to do is even teach this series, except for the fact that I love you too much not to anymore. And so I'm just going to show you what the Word says and what the Bible says about these things. And, you know, I mentioned this last night, but in a different context, I'll bring it up. Did you see that Nick Walenda, the guy that does the tightrope act, and He went across the skyscrapers in Chicago with no safety net, no tether to the rope, and he had a blindfold even on part of it. I mean, what? I mean, why is he doing that? I like to be on the ground where it's big. And I was hunting one time, walking on railroad tracks, and I mean, they were like this wide. He was on the width of a penny. I'm trying to walk on it, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, it's like 2 inches off the ground. I'm falling off. I'm like, how is he doing that blindfolded on skyscraper in the windy city when it's blowing, you know? But the reason I say that is no safety net. And so if he fell, I'd be in trouble, wouldn't it? Well, some of these things that we're going to talk about, because they're brand new, and because, I mean, there's just some things in here that we're going to see that are going to be put you at a place to be a doer of the Word or not be a doer of the Word. And sometimes when you hear the Word for the first time, you can cause to stumble a little bit. And it can cause you to be like, whoa. Well, here's the thing that's awesome about this, is that everything I'm going to share is going to be the Bible. That's going to be our safety net. So even in times of honor, when I'm sharing about honoring the pastoral office, which by you in turn doing that will absolutely bless my life personally. It will. It absolutely will. It'll bless your life to do it. And that's what I'm excited to tell you about. But when you hear that and the thoughts can rip through your head, he's being self-serving. How dare he say this stuff? You can fall into the net, which is the Word, and say, it's all Bible. Amen. If I don't teach my kids, who's going to teach them? If I don't teach my sheep, who's going to teach them. I'm not going to let wolves get a hold of you before I can share it. So the Word will be our safety net. And let me just put this disclaimer out there too. Don't up and just leave your church because you got mad at something the pastor said. Give him the courtesy to call and say, what did you mean by this? Can you show me in the Word? Can we talk this through? So many people, the devil, the Bible says, comes to steal the Word immediately. So the Word will get preached and the devil's right there at the doorstep trying to take that from you. Listen, call, let's talk about this. I'm telling you, I'm only going to stick with the Word of God. What else would I say? I would be afraid to say anything apart from the Word of God. So the Word is our safety net. But we're going to be look at being honorable. Two ministers, I don't know, it might be 3 or 4 week series, I don't know, but two ministers that were at the forefront of the body of Christ, that one of them still is, one of them at Home View of Jesus, Dr. Dufresne, and Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland still at the forefront, you know, a ministry, teaching ministry, blessing people, the Word of Faith movement. He made a statement one time. He said he was dealing with a gentleman that had done some things that were very dishonorable. And it wasn't the acts that the guy did that was so striking to him. It was the fact that the guy had no regard for what he had done. And he made this statement. He says, honor is one of the biggest things. Now, these are two people that are at the forefront, the generals in the body of Christ, leading the way as the body of Christ, not just in this town, in the state. I'm talking in the world. And he says, one of the biggest things missing in the body of Christ today is honor. Dr. Dufresne, who was in the ministry for 50 years, traveled the world, been to thousands of churches, said the greatest thing lacking. Two people, separate things, saying the greatest thing lacking in the body of Christ today is honor. Not money, not faith, not is honor, people being honorable. We have lost, not just here, I'm not even saying that we have lost it here, I'm just saying in general, the body of Christ has become so dishonorable towards the things of God. And it benefits you to be honorable. I can't tell you enough. Now, I had to be taught this. When I came into the body of Christ, I knew nothing. In fact, I was very disrespectful. I was very on my own program. I hated authority, hated submitting. I wanted to be my way or the highway. Well, that don't work with God. It ain't your way or the highway. It's God's way or the highway. The highway to what? Depression, fear, anxiety, fear, worry, sickness, lack of money, all those things. You don't do it God's way. That's what the highway you're going on. It's His way. And there's certain things in there about honor and authority and respect that I knew nothing about. I grew up just a punk teenager. I think back now, I had so many clashes with my stepdad. He passed away of cancer a few years ago. He got born again on his deathbed. Praise God. Yeah, it was awesome. It was exciting, and it was sweet to see his heart soften. But I think, man, a lot of that conflict I had with him back then was because I was so dishonorable. I didn't know anything about it. You know, he'd ask me to do one simple thing. Here I'm living in their house, getting food and clothing and everything, and He comes home from work in a shift from 5 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock at night, and the driveway's not shoveled. And here's 15-year-old boy sitting in the house playing video games. No wonder we had conflict. No wonder there was just different things, and I didn't know a thing about it. So when I came into the body of Christ, being honorable towards my pastor, being honorable towards the things of God, being honorable towards other Christians in the body of Christ, being honorable towards other ministers, I didn't know anything about it. In fact, I was very critical, very judgmental. I'll tell you what, didn't help my life. It wasn't until I got taught honor and started walking in honor. And I'll tell you what, I received blessings from being honorable. See, the one thing that we can all relate to is, even though it might be I'm talking to my congregation about being honorable, and some of these things we'll be talking about being honorable towards the office of a pastor, but I'm a sheep just like you. I'm not a sheep here, but I'm a sheep just like you. I have a pastor as well. I have to practice these same things that I'm going to teach you. And you can email my pastor and ask him this. I don't say this to brag. I say this to be an example. My pastor, almost every time I see him, he says, Pastor Mike, you're one of the most honorable people that I know. So he says to me, whenever we meet ministers, he said, this is Pastor Mike, he's one of my sons, one of the most honorable sons I have. And so he says to me, I endeavor to be honorable. Why? Because I know the blessing that comes, not only to them, but the blessing that comes to me. I wouldn't say it's selfish, I'd say it's just smart. If you know there's good things that can benefit you, you should do them, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, I've been very honorable, and I've been blessed for being honorable. My goodness. And some of these things will come up. Some of these things that I do towards my pastor. And know this, when we get to those points, I don't expect you to do a lick for me. I don't expect you to act a certain way for me. I'm just going to tell you the word, and it's between you and God, the doer of the word. I'm going to love you the same. I don't care if you look at me and call me a moron. Say, what's up, Pastor Moron? Say, good to see you. Love you. Glad you're here. I'll love you just the same. You know I will. You know I will. Praise God. And so I'm not expecting anything, but let's just take a walk in the word the next few weeks. And let's see what the Lord's trying to get over to us. If it took a stern warning from God to get your pastor to finally open up about this, there must be some things he wants to say. Amen. So let's take a look at it. Well, you can open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. I think I just heard an Abby scream. Abby screams can penetrate the walls, man. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Let's see here. Hallelujah. You know this, that the Bible says that my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. And if there's things in here in the Word that talk about your blessing being dependent upon being honorable, if you don't know how to do it, you won't know how to act it. And if you don't know how to act it, you won't know how to receive it. And so we need to look at these things. But look what it says in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3. I want to show you that it's to your benefit. Yeah, but before I read that verse, I do need to say that. I won't name them by name over the years. I've seen people, I've seen this happen. And I've seen people walk away from their place of supply, their place of blessing. I can think of numerous families at the Jamestown Church that could testify to miracles happening in their family and their kids. I mean, tears of, this is no possible way medical science can explain this. There's no financial way that this worked out, but they did. But then because they struggled with an honor issue, because they didn't know how to be honorable, it took them out and they walked away from the things of God because of a lack of honor. And I'm not going to let that happen here. We need to know the word, and you need to be brought into this and enlightened on this. It says in 1 Samuel 2:30, it says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me." Now notice this is going to be the magic verse for our series. "For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." See, that word honor means to highly respect or to highly esteem something. That's all honor is. High respect, high esteem for something. And the Lord is saying, if you'll honor me, He says, I will honor you. If you have, and when he's saying Him, not just the entity or the being that is God. Everything that has to do with God. The body of Christ is God. The Word of God is God. The local church is God. So when He says, if you'll honor me, He's talking, if you'll honor the things of me, the things of God. You see, if you dishonor my child and you do something against my child, even though that's not physically me, you're dishonoring me. You're hurting me. So He's not talking about the God that just sits on a throne, everything that goes along with God. He says, if you'll honor the things of God, I'm going to honor you. He says, if you'll have a high esteem, a high respect for the things of God, He says, I'm going to do that back to you. Imagine having the high respect from God. Imagine God highly esteeming you, setting you up for things, placing you in positions that only honor could open because you honored Him. He says, I got to highly esteem them. So that tells me that God doesn't highly esteem everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
Only the ones that honor Him. Amen. And I'll just say this, before, and I'm gonna speak this by inspiration right now from the Holy Ghost. People better wake up in here and get a hold of this. Do not turn me off here today.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've seen people's lives be destroyed from this stuff. Yeah. This isn't a minor subject. It might seem minor because I've never shared on it. That's my issue. That was my insecurities. That was my trying to be erring on the side of caution.
Yeah.
This is important stuff. I want God to highly esteem me, highly respect me. Because the ones He highly esteems and respects, He can do big things for them. He can trust them with things. So you might not have the honor of God on your life. You might not have God highly esteeming you. That all depends on your honor you show towards the things that He has. It's a blessing to you to be honorable. So that's the scripture we're going to go with. Now go with me real quick to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. Dr. Dufresne, the greatest thing lacking. I mean, you'd think he'd say something like marriage problems, or the greatest thing lacking is love, or the greatest. And him and Kenneth Copeland say the same thing. The greatest thing they've seen in the years that they've ministered is a lack of honor. Wow. Wow. Well, not here.
Amen.
Not here no more. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. I want to show you, it's to your benefit to be honorable. We already saw, if you want the high regard, the honor, the esteem of God. And just so you know, you'll see in the Word, honor is a financial thing too. That when you honor the things of God, one of the ways He honors you back is financially. Like some of you might think, I don't care if God respects me. No, it has so much more to do. It has places that He puts you in. It has finances that come your way. Doesn't the Bible say, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase? Honor, one way of showing honor is financially. So if we're honoring God and He's honoring us back, our finances will be helped by this as well. And see, I know I say that and it gets people's attention. Okay, now I'll pay attention. Now you got me, Pastor. That's just true. People say, why do you talk about money so much? I say, why do you think about it all day long? I'm looking at everybody, by the way, everybody. I'm not picking certain people out. I don't want to get accused of that. Why do you think about it all day long if it's not that important to you? It is important to you. Of course it is. You need it to live. You need to buy food. You need to buy gas. You need to pay your bills. It is important. It is important. So I get people's attention when I say honor has to do with money. You'll be honorable. You'll see it show up in your checkbook. Amen! I'll just cheer on myself up here. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. And He, Jesus, went out from thence and came into His own country, and His disciples followed Him. And when the Sabbath was come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, from where has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought with his hands? Now look at what they said in verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at Him. But Jesus said, look what Jesus sums up the situation here. He says, a prophet is not without what? Honor, but in his own country and his own kin and in his own house. What was He saying? These people were being dishonorable towards Him. They were saying they were His own kin. They were close to Him. They knew His family. They knew who He was. They knew His career. And Jesus was saying, a prophet is not without honor except when he's in his own country. So what He's saying is these people are acting in a dishonorable way towards Him. You could say this, they lack honor, right? Well, what did that do for them? Verse 5, and He there could do, not that He didn't want to, He could not do it. Don't you tell me that God can do anything He wants to, because He can't. Because here was a case in Mark chapter 6, when Jesus was in His own hometown, that God was limited in what He could do. It doesn't say He wouldn't do it, didn't say He didn't want to do it. It says He could not do any mighty work. Except that He laid His hands upon a few sick folk. Now we know when it says few, we think, well, that's a good service. Not when thousands upon thousands are following Him around, it's not good. We know because when He fed the 5,000, the Bible says, besides women and children. There was probably 10 to 15,000 people that would follow this man around. So when a few sick folk, we know He had endeavors to not just heal a few people, but to do a mighty work in that area. So what am I trying to say? It affected how they received from God because of their lack of honor.
That's right.
Their lack of honor.
Yeah.
And then it goes on and says in verse 6, and He marveled because of their unbelief, and He went round about the villages teaching. Wow. So acting dishonorably is acting out of faith. Ooh,
that's right.
Just saw that one.
Yeah.
Acting out of honor is acting out of faith. Acting out of faith is stopping the blessings in your life. Because when you're in faith, you're a doer of the word. When you're in faith, you're honorable. Yeah. And so these people here no doubt had needs. I mean, we look at what Jesus did. He radically changed people's lives that He came in contact with. People that were tormented mentally. People that were tormented in their body and financially. He blessed them and helped them. And there was no doubt people that were suffering that day that needed His touch. But His touch was stopped because they weren't honorable towards Him. God's work will be limited in your life based on your honor level. I've seen it over and over again. As I preach this, you get under the anointing and you just feel like you can say anything. You get out of the anointing and the devil mess with your mind all day. But while I'm in here now, I'll just say anything, but I preach it. And I'm thinking, why didn't I share this? It's no big deal. This is God. This is the Word. Right? This is the Word of God. We're just honor caused them not to receive. People went home empty-handed that day. People went home sick, depressed, broke that day, didn't get what they wanted, didn't get what they needed because they didn't have honor. Didn't have honor. So we're going to look at honor. Praise God. And I told you that we're going to focus on the local church mostly and the things associated with the local church. Sorry to say, one of the main things associated with the local church is your pastor. So we're going to look at things like that. But we're going to look at other things like that too. But I want you to go real quick to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, honor, honor, honor. Praise God. You'll see in this series, people that acted in an honorable way towards the things of God had doors open to them that they could have never opened on their own. Absolute miracles happened in their life because they honored and highly esteemed the things of God. And things changed. And I think what we're really in for in this series is an attitude adjustment. Oh, people need an attitude adjustment. I mean, the things I hear, people bad-mouthing other Christians from other churches, they're this and that, talking about ministers, talking that certain way about your pastor. People have no idea. You don't know what you're doing. You're laying tracks in your life to desperation, to poverty, to sickness, all these things. But why? It's all because of a lack of honor. When you act honorably, you don't talk that way. You don't treat someone that way. You don't have the wrong attitudes. Honor's really an attitude, isn't it? Jesus said this in one scripture that references slip of mind. He says, repent. One translation says, change your attitude.
Yeah, that's good.
Change your attitude. Yeah. I'll tell you, we need an attitude adjustment in the body of Christ, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. If you don't think so, I'm going to give it to you anyways. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 14. This is Paul writing to Timothy, who's a pastor. He says, these things I write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly, but if I tarry or wait long, that you may know. So he's saying, I'm going to come and tell you these things, but because I might be tarried long and wait long, I'm going to write them to you so you know them. They're that important. I can't wait anymore. It's kind of like me. I can't wait to do this anymore. I got to obey God. He says, that you mayest know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. You mean there's a way? We ought to conduct ourselves in the house of God. You bet your bottom there is. Hallelujah. There is a way. He says, I'm writing that you ought to know how to behave. Oh, there's so many Christians that behave so wrong. The way they show up, the way they conduct themselves in the house of God, and they don't realize it's hurting their life. Now notice this. This fires me up right here.
Come on.
It says that you'll behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. This assembly here in South Dayton is not a small thing. It's not a minor thing. This is the church of the very living God. We ought to have certain thoughts about this place. We ought to have certain care for this place. We ought to have a certain attitude about this place. It better not be just service as usual, just showing up and seeing those same people. This is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, let me explain that to you. Because, again, we're talking about the local church. Because what I see is people, because you have to understand that your blessing in life depends on your relationship to the local church. God is not doing things apart from the local church. He's not letting these rogue people that are starting churches in their house and everybody's taking a turn to preach. That's not the Word of God. There's no shepherd in that. Well, just what do you got on your heart today, brother? Share it. That's not God. That's not God. All in the Bible, you look at it. Paul's writing to Timothy, who's a pastor of a local assembly. The Ephesian letter was written to a church in Ephesus, a local assembly. The Corinthians was a Corinthian church written to a local assembly. The Philippians were a church at Philippi, a local assembly. Right? The Romans, same thing. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, the Colossian church. All local assemblies. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, when he writes the letters to the seven churches, he's writing letters to local assemblies who have pastors in them. God gave gifts unto men, pastors. Jesus said, without a pastor, you're faint, scattered, dejected, harassed, and bewildered. Everything God is doing is in the local church. And this verse brings it out. Because the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And there's a sweeping doctrine through the body of Christ that says, oh, we're just going to start churches and houses and spread around, pass the word. You can do whatever you want. You don't need to go to church. And you can just have you and your Bible. No, because the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. He says you need to know how to behave yourself in the house of God because big things are happening there. Now let me read it to you in the Message Bible, and then I'm going to explain that pillar and ground of truth. It says, if I am detained, you may know how people ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the church of living God, the pillar and stay, and then in parentheses it says, the prop and the support of the truth. That word prop, that definition of the word prop, is a pole or a beam used as a support to keep something in position. The Bible is saying that the church, the local church, that Paul's trying to teach people how to behave and act in, that church is the prop or the pole or the beam that holds up the truth and keeps the truth in place. You take away the local church and you cut that prop out from underneath and the truth goes trampling down and crashing down. That's what the word says. Some of these things I've never seen before. And he's saying you ought to know how to behave yourself because that place that you're going to, you see in the Old Testament when they would come into the presence of God, there were specific things that you had to follow. Now, we won't get into legalism and the law. You know, it's a hard issue, but there's ways we ought to conduct ourselves. Amen. How are you thinking about churches? Oh, God, I got to go there again. Oh, Lord, help you if it is. Lord, help you if it is. Yeah. I mean, you get a testimony like that from Brandy, that's someone that will has a respect for the local church and what's going on. Right. Life completely changed. Yeah. Now, you're going to laugh at what I said this last night, and it's the truth. I said, I'm going to tell you because you need to know. It's the only entry. I made the statement last night. I was talking about being connected with a pastor. This is what I was going to tell you after service. And I said, my life didn't change until I hooked up with a man. I said that last night. And I thought, let me clarify that. But I thought, you know, you started this church. You need to know all the funny things that happened in Olean too. And, but it's true. Until I got in the house of God with the pastor, life didn't change. Why? Because the church is the pillar, the beam, the pole that's holding up the truth of God. What is the truth of God? What's going to lead you into blessing, lead your kids into protection, lead you into health, lead you into peace of mind. That truth needs to be supported and be held up. It's not being held up by anything but the local church. That's the pillar. That's the beam, the supporting beam. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's not a small thing. In such casualness, the word casual means to be relaxed and unconcerned, has creeped into the body of Christ. A casual attitude. And that's what we're going to deal with honor. Casual attitude towards the Word of God. Casual attitude towards fellow Christians. Casual attitude of the way you show up. The thoughts that you have about the church. The supply you bring to church. I don't just mean your finances. I mean the supply you bring in the Spirit. Praying throughout the week, bringing an attitude of faith to the service, bringing an attitude of praise to the service, not being someone that's going to drain the living life out of a service, coming knowing, I'm so blessed to get to go there. Oh my gosh, it's Sunday. Woohoo!
Yeah, that's right.
Oh man, we're only going to have Wednesday night service once a month. That ought to tick you off.
Right.
Make you mad. Yeah. Yep. Because if you had a high regard, highly esteemed this place, things would change. You'd have more honor towards it. And such casualness has creeped in. Such unconcern, such a relaxing attitude for the things of God. If you want God to give you His best, you're going to have to give Him His best. Your best to get His best. This is the truth. People want God to move heaven and earth for them. But when it comes to the things of God, and again, a lot of it's because we haven't been taught. A lot of it's because we don't have the knowledge, but we won't be able to claim ignorance anymore.
That's right.
And we'll just look and take a walk in the Word and what the Word says. Now, we're almost, actually does, but it might be one of my quickest service I've ever preached. Hallelujah. Go home and start tailgating early. But the local church is where God's going to speak to you. I want you to see this in Psalms 100 and verse 4. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I've always tried. I mean, I've gone a little longer lately, but I've always tried not to just try to draw a service out. If we're done, we're done. And I don't want to get into the things that we're going to get into, but I'll tell you this. You ought to be here in the next coming weeks. Learn this.
Amen.
Learn honor. Oh, should I say that, Lord? I need to find out from him because I don't. That's a green light. I've seen it in this church. Lack of honor that's hurt people. Very dishonorable actions. Very dishonorable way of talking. Very dishonorable attitudes and different things. And I've seen it, and I've known it's been a direct result that has hurt you. And so for that, I apologize, but it's time to shape up.
Amen.
Yeah. I've seen it, and I need to just share that with you, that when I say you need to be here in the coming weeks, because you need to be here to hear this so you can get out of that place, if that's you. I'm not going to embarrass or tell anybody. I love everybody the same, but the truth is the truth is the truth is the truth.
Amen.
Psalms 100 and verse 4. See, Paul said this. He said, I need to teach you how to behave in the house of God. Because great things happen there. It's a great place. It's a marvelous place. I need to teach you.
Amen.
And so it's not just show up as any way we want to.
Right.
It's not just, well, this is what I do on Sunday morning. No, look what it says in Psalms 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about praise day. My point of this scripture is that God says, if you're going to enter in, now his gates are where the blessings are.
That's right.
His gates don't have any depression behind the doors. They don't have any fear behind the doors. Behind God's gates, there is no lack. There is no sickness. He says if you're going to enter in, you got to do it a certain way.
Right.
You got to behave or conduct yourself a certain way. I love what the Message Bible says. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. Enter with the password.
Wow.
That's what it says. And that says, thank you. So God is saying, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto his name. I'm not going in the direction of praise and worship. Of course, we're going to see that in the way you show up. I'll tell you what, let me just be bold. Get ready for this series to be bold.
Amen.
But you standing there during worship and not participating is not helping anything.
That's right.
It's dishonorable towards God. All that he's done for you and you can't thank him? If I give you a gift and you don't thank me, which by the way has happened before lots of times, which I don't understand, is very dishonorable. I'm not trying to rant here. I'm telling you, blessed people, and you don't even hear anything from them. It's like, what? I mean, do you not even know common decency? Well, if you don't, you're going to be taught it. Honor. And people do that all the time. I shouldn't be surprised. They come here, talk about Jesus, saved them life from hell, and during worship, they don't do anything. Now, again, a lot of times we need to be taught and we're uncomfortable, but coming, that's why we're learning this stuff. That's why we're learning this stuff. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, or the Message Bible says, enter with the password. You know, I have a Cabela's account that I like to buy stuff with my Cabela's card and then pay it off because I get points and I can buy hunting stuff. And I can get on Cabela's online and I type in my username, but then there's a password. And then if I don't type in that password, I don't get behind the doors. To see my account, to see the points that I have, to see the special deals that club members have. If I don't have my password, I don't get to go in. And so many people show up behaving wrongly at the house of God, and they're sitting there typing the wrong buttons and access denied. Access. They want healing. And they're so dishonorable. Access denied. Showing up, not knowing how to behave in the house of God. Oh, that's what we're going to learn about, okay? So in the next few weeks, and I'm going to close right there. The next few weeks, I'm going to show you and teach you what it is to be honorable. What does the Bible say about being honorable to the local church? Because I can't stress it enough. I know I can beat a dead horse. I've done it a lot. I can't stress it enough. The local church is where it's at for your life. You separate the local church from your life, you separate the blessing from your life. All throughout history, even Brother Hagin would say this, Dr. Dufresne would say this, Lester Sumrall, Smith Wigglesworth, he said, God is doing a work in the local churches with strong, true pastors. Now, there's lots of churches that aren't real churches. What's a real church? A real church is a place that has an anointed pastor from God who's going to preach and teach the Word of God. Not just someone that stands up there and calls himself pastor and people gather and sing songs and they have a Reader's Digest poem and 3 points and a poem and whatever and leave. That's not church. Church is when the Holy Ghost is involved and God's speaking something to the pastor and he's delivering the mail on Sundays, on a midweek service, or whenever the church has service. And so I can't stress to you enough, The local church, and that's why we're going to distress, what does it mean to be honorable to the local church? And we're going to close all the doors that the devil has tried to get in because of lack of honor. I've already repented with God. I'm not going to feel bad about it anymore. But he sternly warned me, you better start sharing this or it's going to show up in your life, and it's already showing up in theirs. And so I'm done disobeying him. We're just going to have at it these next few weeks. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We're just so grateful for the word this morning. Father, thank you for all that you've shared with us. Lord, I know the devil's at the doorstep trying to steal the word and make people offended, but there's nothing we didn't share in here today that wasn't the word of God. I know, Lord, as I mentioned about people worshiping, that's still the Bible. The Bible says, enter with thanksgiving and praise. And so to come without it, now if you're here, let me just say this with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you've never been involved in this and you didn't know. Don't beat yourself up. My goodness, no. We're all growing at different levels. But the point is, go forward. Make sure you're going forward in a place of growth. God understands where you're at, but the point is getting to that place. But Father, we're not going to let the devil tell us different. We're going to stick with the Bible and we're going to be blessed. We're going to become honorable Christians and we're going to reap the benefits of being honorable. Father, bless the people as they go forward this week. Father, I thank you for good things happening in their lives, Father. Things turning around, miracles happening, Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know everybody personally in here, and I don't know who all is listening by live stream right now, and I don't know who will all listen by live stream in the future on our archives. But everybody here that can hear my voice or on the computer or on a CD eventually, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? You say, I don't want to think about that. Well, go down and buy a newspaper and open to the first page and find the obituary section. There's a whole lot of people that never thought they'd have to encounter that day. That day's real. It happens. Ask yourself, if today were that day for me, where would I go when my heart stopped and it's over? Where would I go? If the answer isn't, I know for sure I'm going to heaven, I have good news for you. Praise God. Because the Bible says you can know for sure. And let me just quickly erase any thoughts that you might have. It has nothing to do with how good you've been. It has nothing to do with how bad you've been. It has nothing to do with how much money you've given. It has nothing to do with how much church you've gone to. It doesn't have anything to do with what your career is, how wonderful a person you've been with. It has everything to do with what you do with Jesus. Bible says, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Those are your qualifications. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe he died, if you believe he rose again, you're qualified. You don't have to jump through a million religious hoops. I don't care what pastor or priest or grandma or grandpa so-and-so told you. It's about what the Bible says. And Jesus said, if you call on my name, I'll save you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We're not going to have anybody come to the front. We're not going to have anybody stand up or say anything on their own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around but myself. If you're here and you can say, you know what, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I know for sure I believe in Jesus, well then let's pray together and the whole church is going to pray with you. You'll be blended in with a bunch of voices, nobody will know it's even you. But if you want to receive Jesus and know for sure that you're going to heaven, but not only that you're going to heaven, that when you accept him, he becomes your dad and he's a good dad, he wants to bless you and help you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here this morning, would you just lift your hand in the air? I see those hands. You can put them down. And anybody else in here? See, we're not trying to embarrass anybody. Anybody want to receive Jesus in here and know for sure that you're going to heaven? I don't like to rush this part. Is there anybody at all? Just quickly put it up and put it back down. We're going to pray together. Anybody? Father, I don't see any other hands. Doesn't mean that there shouldn't be any other hands. It doesn't mean that people that are listening don't want to respond. So if you raised your hands, or you should have raised your hand, or if you're at home listening, or in the future you're listening to this, we're going to all pray a prayer with you. But you mean this with all your heart. It's not just the act of saying it. It's what comes from the heart. Well, let's go ahead, everybody in this room and that's listening to the sound of my voice, go ahead and repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. We're done before 11:15. Miracle. Jesus. I want to just quickly say this. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, and maybe you didn't raise your hand, and I probably would have been one of those that wouldn't have raised my hand. I'm very shy. But if you prayed that for the first time, if you wouldn't mind just in private coming up to me and letting me know that, I just want to get you started in your life with God. And if you prayed that over the internet and you need to know what your next step is, by all means, email. Give us a call. We'll let you know. But God's got good things ahead for us, amen? This new series is just something else that's going to be added to us that maybe we were unknowledgeable about or maybe we needed to be strengthened about. So have an awesome rest of the day, and we'll see you back here next Sunday at 10 o'clock, you're dismissed.